Hey there, welcome to Crosshairs Radio. This is episode 37. On today's show, we have Brooke Watts, who is the promoter of Cross Vegas. Cross Vegas, first World Cup in Las Vegas, September 21. It is only 54 days away, according to the little clock at crossvegas.com. You'll hear in this episode where I sort of give Brooke a hard time by telling him the exact day, or actually Scott does, telling him exactly how many days are left until Cross Vegas to make sure he worries just that much more. But it's actually less than that now. We are at 54 days left. Anyway, good conversation with Brooke from Cross Vegas. Joining in that conversation, as I just mentioned, Scott Diedenbach from Cyclocross Network, Cyclocross Today, and also the Women's CX Project. Always good to have Scott along for the ride in these podcast episodes. We really just concentrate on Cross Vegas, on the history, on what you can expect this year, on the new format, new course. That's really, I think, going to lead to some exciting racing. No sponsor this week, but if you want to get more involved, become a sponsor for the show, you can hit me with an email at feedback@cxhairs.com. Do you hear those dogs barking in the background? I'm in my in-laws' house, and they are going nuts. Feedback@cxhairs.com. That's how you can get in touch with me if you want to become a sponsor of the show, or if you just want to say hey. Either way, also make sure that you check out Wide Angle Podium, wideanglepodium.com. That's the podcast network that Crosshairs Radio is part of, and I would love you to be a member of it too. If you join, you get some perks. Along with being one of the cool kids, you also get access to some bonus material. There is a Crosshairs Radio episode up there where I talk to Scott Herman for about an hour. And it's just a good way to help us grow the network and do what we want to do. If you listen on iTunes, always good if you go leave a review, a positive one, as I've said before. If you got a negative review, You can just email me at that same email address, feedback@cxhairs.com, and I will try my best to respond to your email and respond to any concerns you may have. So iTunes, rate, review, share with your friends. Go on social media. Let them know about Crosshairs Radio. That helps a lot, too. It's been really cool watching this grow. I am hoping that you guys dig it, and we've got a lot of other shows planned, a couple already recorded that I'll be putting out as I enjoy some vacation in up here in Minnesota. So that's about it. Let's talk to Brooke and Scott, and let's do that right now. On the show today, as you probably just heard in my introduction, but I'm going to say it again. I have Scott Diedenbach who's with us, but not for a They Don't Do That in Europe episode, just to hang out and talk to our special guest, who is Brooke Watts, Cross Vegas promoter. First, let me start with you, Scott. How are things going?
Going great, man. Getting ready for the CX season to get started. Training camp next month, clinics coming up, and then we'll be rocking, man.
Awesome. And so just so people know, I know we've talked about it before. This is the first year full, or second year, but first year that you are fully dedicated to the CX Women's Project, right? That's the team you'll be 100%
close
supporting, or what?
Close.
Okay.
Women's CX Project. Yeah, first year full time for me. I did a little bit of stuff with them last year. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. Totally girl/women-based development team. We got some pro input with Courtney McFadden and Amanda Nauman as like mentor riders for us. We got some Australian guys coming over, going to be like teaching the girls stuff. So yeah, we are really excited about this season coming up, man. It's going to be awesome.
That's great. And Brooke, so is it still snowing in Colorado?
Exactly. But fortunately, the snow is putting out the wildfires, so that works out well. That's a play on a Johnny Carson joke that goes back 30 years. Hey, we could call this They Don't Do That in Europe special political convention edition if we wanted. You know, that's you know, the last couple of weeks, as gosh, Europeans must shake their head and wonder, what is it with these Americans? Number one, they do cyclocross in the desert, and they've got these things they call political conventions. You know, that's head scratching material.
Brooke showing that he is a true fan of the show too, by the way.
I know, it's good. Yeah, well, I mean, weather-wise, I swear that I was talking to you know, a couple of your Colorado brethren who are working in these mountain bike World Cups, and like even in May, they were like, "Yeah, still snow."
Oh my gosh! I tell you what, May is the you know, every region, every climate has a suicide season, right? And May is the suicide season. You know, you either got a bright sunny day or it's, oh my God, it's another snowstorm. If you can make it to Memorial Day, you put the gun back in the drawer. You can, you know, you might survive, but it certainly gets old when the snow starts falling and your daffodils start wilting. You know.
Yeah. Well, we're past that now, and we're deep into the summer. And now, actually, I didn't check the countdown today. So, how many
58
days? 58 days until Cross Vegas.
Thanks, Scott. That's just what I needed to hear. I've been sleeping well the last few nights. I needed something to keep me up.
I was
fully aware that as we creep up on August 1st, the planning takes a little different turn. It becomes much more operational and logistical, and then there comes a time, and you guys have put on events, and so many of these listeners will agree with this. There comes a time in your planning process where you say, let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, the ninth, and just to presume for a minute, it's like the ninth month of pregnancy. It's like, let's just get this over with. I've had enough fun.
Do you feel, because I know this is for me, even though there's still like so many things that can go wrong in an event, but don't you feel this certain sense of relief after that first whistle goes off in that first race? Like, you're just nuts until then, and then it's like, all right, what's going to happen is going to happen.
Hey, look, it's in someone else's hands at that point. You know, it's in the officials' hands, fully capable UCI and USA Cycling officials. It's kind of in their hands. And I remember a few years ago when an official said to me at the start of the first race of the evening, looks like we're going to be starting a little late. And I said, no. Well, you know, to use some years ago when I raced, the chief official would say, I want everybody to turn their watches back to 8 o'clock because we do not start our races late. and so I turned to the official and said, no, we don't start races late. That's not the way we do things. Because you start that and you've got the snowball effect.
Sure.
So it very definitely, once you pass it off, once it's, you know, the ball is in motion. That's not to say I can then sit back and, you know, pop a Michelob Ultra. You know, there's still a lot to do, but the pressure is off a bit.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk.
And now, you know, this is the 10th year, right?
That was going to be my next thing. Yeah, let's
You're
talk
just
about
saying
that.
Double
this
digits,
is huge.
Man.
This is huge.
Can you believe that? Yeah, I know it. I know it. And sure, certain things get easier each year, but the goal is to make it more interesting, to raise the bar. You know, you want on that day after Cross Vegas for the rest of the cyclocross world to say, how are we going to top that? You know, they took another step forward. They you know, they added an alligator pit or whatever. So yeah, you know, resting on the laurels, gosh, that's an interesting concept, but I've never done it.
But let's just go back, because I was actually talking with Scott Herman recently for our bonus episode that we did together for Crosshairs Radio. But he was saying, really talking about Cross Vegas, he's like, don't let Brooke get bored at trade shows. basically how he started the origin story for Cross Vegas. But, you know, for folks that maybe don't know, I need to give a little Reader's Digest version about how this race started.
Well, stop me because I will go on forever. But my dear friend Chris Grealish and I used to say, you know, wow, we go out to Interbike. We don't drink, we don't gamble, we don't go to strip clubs. Wouldn't it be cool if there was something bicycle related to do after hours? And we're both, crazy cyclocross fans. So it was a dare, well, I'll do it if you do it. And we flew out. It was a December day, if I recall. We flew out to Las Vegas. We drove around town with a Rand McNally map, and that kind of dates it right there, going to all the green spots on the map, looking for a park that we could put on a cross race. And ended up where we ended up, at the Desert Breeze Soccer Complex, which is just this, stunning, stunning location. So that's kind of the uber short answer of, how did you take this thing to Las Vegas for one? Well, it always had to do with the fact that there was a ready crowd of people at the trade show looking for something to do. The quick footnote to that is, so 2007, the first night of Cross Vegas has taken place, instantly 2,500 fans there with very little promotion. We did not yet have the shuttle buses taking people back and forth from the show site to Desert Breeze Soccer Complex. The next day at the trade show at Interbike, I walked around the aisle, doing a victory lap, as it's been called, and a number of people in the industry said to me, "Oh my God, I have never written so many cross bike orders as I have this morning. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do last night?" So I think there was a perfect storm brewing, but I think you had all of these influentials in the industry present in one spot, and there was your Gladwell tipping point, where people in Tampa, Florida, Yuma, Arizona, kind of far-flung non-traditional cross locations said, "My gosh, if they can do it at a soccer complex in Las Vegas, we can do it back home."
Yeah. And I think you've told me in the past, Brooke, that the second you saw Desert Breeze Soccer Complex, you were like, "This is it."
This is it. That exactly right.
You walked in and said, "This is it, guys."
Well, and anyone who's been there knows that you park and then you walk the length of a football field and a half along this flat area. You're just walking and walking. You're going, okay, it's a flat soccer complex. Soccer fields are flat. And then you come upon the edge of that bowl and you look down on this bowl, which is, for those who are listening and have no idea what we're talking about, is about 40 feet below grade and is large enough in the bottom that it holds another three soccer fields. So you get to the edge of that bowl and you go, "Holy smokes, I am looking at a cyclocross stadium with thick grass and everything I need right here." And in the far corner across the way, as I motion with my arm, you've got this incredible uphill, which we take advantage of this year in this newly completely redesigned course that we've come up with. We come up with an uphill section that people will either applaud or they'll just absolutely cry in their beer about.
Along with the new course and just how that has evolved, which I want to get more into, I really want to know, because this is something that race organizers all over the country deal with, what was it like dealing with the management of this soccer complex, who probably had no idea what cyclocross was or even bike races, and you're coming in there wanting to have this race? And then has that always been a good relationship, or how did that come to be? What was that negotiation like?
It has evolved over time, and the entity is the Clark County Parks and Recreation Department, Clark County being the county that Las Vegas is part of. And once we describe to them that, no, this is not motocross, these are not motorized vehicles, these are bicycles, and we got through the first year, and they saw that there was, you know, very, very little damage, which is to say, you've got this beautiful grass that, and of course, you've got a bit of a wear pattern because bicycles will do that, but once you hit it with the irrigation, it springs right back. So year two was easier, and then from there it progressed to the point that it started to get this international stature, and now as year two of a World Cup, they recognize not only that it brings some great recreation for locals who participate in, whether it's the USA Cycling or the Wheelers and Dealers race, that it provides a spectator opportunity for residents of the Las Vegas metro area, but now they can see that Desert Breeze Soccer Complex is a brand name, if you will, among cyclocross fans around the world, and I think there's a great bit of pride that you know this beautiful park they have is seen by 12 million plus TV viewers as a venue for a World Cup cyclocross event.
Yeah, that's amazing. And talking about the evolution, not only with the parks, but just with yourself and how you've changed the course over the years, you mentioned this long, you know, couple football fields length when you walk in that used to be the start and used to be the prologue. And now from looking at the map, you've really taken that and moved everything into this bowl, this cyclocross stadium that you talk about. And just how much did you have to sort of bend your mind to sort of look at this with fresh eyes to come up with a new approach to how the course looks for this year?
Well, two things. It took left to my own devices, I would do it you kind of get stuck in your own way. And left to my own devices, I probably would have just stuck with the way I've been doing it for years. But I have brought on, I've got some wonderful people come from around the country, give up their free time to listen to me rant and rave and tell them how things should be done. And this is this group of 15 to 20 people who helped me build this event during race week. And one of those folks, I could mention a dozen names, but one of those folks is Jeff Lucido, who puts on fantastic events in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, a couple of UCI events, Resolution Cross most prominently. Anyway, Jeff had been telling me, I've got some ideas. I said, okay, great. I'm going to be in Las Vegas in February. Here's your airline ticket. Come out here and spend the day at the park with me. And let's walk around and let's listen to those ideas and let's redesign this thing. And Jeff did just that. We spent an entire day walking around the course with his vision. So look, I steal from only the best. And in this case, I took Jeff's idea, his vision of, well, what if you did this instead of that? Or what if we pushed all the action here? And you combine that with what I had seen over the years as I watched the race. And that is, with one lap to go, you had this horde of lemmings who were coming up out of the bowl to the finish line. And I was thinking, okay, well, everyone heads to the bowl. Let's take the action to the bowl. Let's take 90% of the action to the bowl so that, you know, people are still going to come out of the bowl to see the finish line, but we're going to be able to make it easier for them at any one moment to see most of the action. Combined with the fact that, you know, like so many things over time, you tend to kind of, you know, tack things onto each other. And so... as I looked, and Jeff and others looked at our venue, we saw, wow, we've got some traffic issues. We've got a dead end over here where spectators tend to head up here and then they don't know where to go. So from the standpoint of wayfinding, we needed that blank sheet of paper to be able to say, okay, if I'm a spectator and I want to get over to see the cask flyover, how do I get to that without crossing the course a half a dozen times? Well, gee, what if we did this? So it was a combination of time for something new in year 10, time for something new from a competitor standpoint, i.e. let's make it harder because it is a World Cup event. And also, how can we make this thing more spectator friendly? It's time to create a flow, whether you're trying to head for a cool course feature, whether you're trying to head to a VIP area. How can we just make it easier for you to move around?
Yeah, I think one of those main features that you've changed, and something that I've talked to riders about in the past that they weren't like crazy fond of, was that downhill paved sort of pavement area. And from looking at the map, is that now an uphill?
That is now an uphill. That is the world's smoothest piece of concrete. There are some skateboarders who would just love that. And so there's a couple things that go on. You can ask Catherine Pendrell, who took a slide there.
Yep.
As the evening progresses and the temperature drops, the dew starts to settle on the grass. Rob Peters took a fall several years ago. When he was well on his way, his fall was on the grass. But my point is that dew, as you get to later in the evening, the dew starts to settle a little bit. And lap after lap, the conditions change. Whether it's on the grass, where just a little moisture starts to settle, or whether it's on that pavement where it just gets, you might be carrying a little moisture on your tires, or it'll just be slick enough that you'll take a fall. That wasn't necessarily the motivation in changing the direction on the asphalt. It was really to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish, which is how do we come out of the bowl with a very difficult section, a quick little uphill section, leading to a 150-meter sprint section to the line. And so the result of that was, well, it looks like our pavement section is going to be uphill rather than downhill.
And that's really cool. And just one other thing I want to mention, Brooke, is all the stuff that was in the upper part, like I'm thinking specifically of the Shimano flyover, that hasn't disappeared. That's still there, and it's down in the lower bowl now, correct?
That is correct. I mean, the sum total, which is to say two flyovers, the Raleigh ramp, which stays in its spot, sand pit, four sets of stairs, including the focus stairs, which will be those stairs they encounter as they're coming, you know, with that 200 meter to go. Section. Everything is still there, just been relocated somewhere. And in fact, the Raleigh ramp and the barriers are really the only feature that remain in their same spot in the same direction as in years past. And I'm just real pleased with the severity of the course, which is to say, on that back stretch where you've got the largest hill, we have been able to create what I'll call a screaming downhill with a 180 turn, quick set of stairs, and then a climb straight back up. That'll be for the elite women and the elite men only. The USA Cycling and the Wheelers and Dealers categories will have a shortcut that they'll take. And a couple of them have said to me, oh gosh, we want to do that section. No, you don't. No.
Always say that.
don't they always?
They always say that in July, right?
Exactly. No, trust me. You want this shortcut. You will appreciate this shortcut, you know.
And one thing I wanted to mention, Bill, is because this is one of the features of the Cross Vegas course that brought us, in my opinion, maybe some of the most iconic images of the season last year was the Cross Vegas sand pit. I mean, those images that we got last year from the Cross Vegas sand pit, those were just unbelievable. And I mean, in my opinion, some of the best images that we got all season long.
Right, because you had
the sand pit is still there.
Yeah, and you had a nighttime race with really fine sand and windy conditions, and it was amazing down there. Just the, you know, that was, it was like other than what happened to your, you know, looking at your camera the next morning and having to clean it all out, what you got sitting down there shooting that was just unbelievable. yeah
and even on the video.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, an exceptionally windy year. I mean, when Ava Leshner says, yeah, I didn't attack because I wanted to sit on a wheel, you know, and get some shelter from the wind. I mean, you don't hear that kind of thing typically in a cross race. But they do call it Desert Breeze Soccer Complex for a reason. The wind does blow. But the wind usually calms down at dusk. And it did not last year and continued to blow. And so that did add to that dramatic image of the sand pit with the drifting winds. I have relocated that sand pit, and I would no longer term it a sand pit. It is now a sand dune, which is to imply that there's a bit of an uphill within that sand pit.
All right, a little cockside in Nevada. Yeah.
Exactly.
And we need and come on, somebody needs to sponsor that sand pit. Let's go,
guys.
It's
available.
Yeah.
It's available. 1-800 sand pit sponsor.
Yeah. So a sand pit with elevation, a new uphill downhill with a 180 in there, all of the stairs, all of the flowers. Brooke, that doesn't sound like a grass crit to me.
You know, it's funny that people, I love the critics who say, oh, it's just a grass criterium. Yeah, right. And that's why the crit specialist, that's why Brad Huff is on the winners list for Cross Vegas. That's why these crit specialists have had no problem coming to Cross Vegas and showing how it's done.
So with all of that, you know, Scott mentioned bringing up that the sponsorship possibilities for that sand pit, but also just along with the sponsors, with your VIP section, with how all of the amenities are now mapped out. I'm assuming that came into play as well when you were doing this revamped course to give, you know, one, fans a better, you know, opportunity to see it. I'm assuming TV wise, camera angles were taken into consideration in getting all of that in one section, but also your vendors and your sponsors are able to you know, better show off what they're paying for from this race.
You're absolutely right. We're able to concentrate all the activity, whether that's VIP activity, expoing activity, an opportunity to buy a beer, an opportunity to buy some food. We're able to concentrate that in a tight little area where before it tended to be spread out. And once the race started, people headed to the sidelines and then didn't move. And why would you? You know, you found your spot and you want to preserve that. So without question, you know, you now have the ability to follow the race much easier. We'll have six big screens on site, jumbotrons, if you will. So from virtually any location, if the riders are somehow out of your immediate view, you can look up at a big screen, follow what's going on until they come back into your field of view.
Yeah, and also on top of that, I think one thing that having this race around now, you know, now for 10 years, for a decade, and then having it a World Cup is, for fans in Europe, it seems like you've sort of created this destination point that now people are taking trips based on coming out to that World Cup race. You know, we definitely saw a change in the spectators last year versus years before. I was, you know, having to explain my t-shirts to a lot more people who spoke Dutch last year than I ever have in the past. And
I think that's, instead of explaining them to us English speakers.
Exactly.
Right? You're absolutely right. Quite an uptick in the number of European visitors, particularly, you know, Dutch and Belgian. Look, it's, regardless of how us Americans may feel about Vegas, and everyone's got definite ideas, it is still one of the top destinations in America.
Oh, yeah, it's like New York, Florida, and Vegas.
You're exactly right. And you can come there. There are cheap flights, great connections. The hotels are a great value. Rental cars are inexpensive. I mean, that's the reason that it's the entertainment capital of the world. They know how to roll out the red carpet and make people welcome. Drive a few hours, you're looking at one of the greatest wonders of the world, Grand Canyon or Zion or Bryce, Death Valley. I'm amazed at the number of European visitors in the middle of August who want to go see Death Valley while you and I are hanging out in the air conditioning. So, I mean, it is...
Throw the Hoover Dam in there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a unique location. There's just so much to see there, coupled with all of the fun stuff on the Strip, whether it's one of 20 Cirque du Soleil shows. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm starting to sound like the Chamber of Commerce. But that combined with the ability, and this is a point that I think is very interesting, the ability to go to a World Cup race and walk up to one of your heroes, whether it's Wout or Lars or Sven, and talk to them one-on-one, which you cannot do at home because the crowds are so big around their areas. And when you see those guys, and a fan approaches and starts speaking to them in their, you know, native language, they just light up and they think, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. Here I am in Las Vegas talking to a fellow Belgian fan.
Yeah. And that's the unique thing I think about cyclocross. Even with the World Cup mountain bike races, that I think they're even a little more closed off, and you see the rider sort of, when they're doing their warm-ups, doing it behind the tent or that kind of thing, sort of out of sight. I mean, a lot of them are approachable, but there's definitely a change there where cyclocross, there really are no barriers. You don't get like the road thing, you know, the road racing where everything is just roped off and you can't get near those guys. The expo area at Cross Vegas is true. And the amazing thing is a lot of people go back there, but a lot of people don't, and they don't take advantage of that opportunity to go see those guys. And they're there plenty of time before the race. Everybody that I've talked to seems, you know, pretty approachable and willing to say hi, sign an autograph, do whatever.
Yeah, it's so true. So there aren't any other sports. I mean, you can go to batting practice at a Major League Baseball game, and maybe you haul it down from the stands to the guys taking practice or you know, fielding the balls, but you sure can't go down there and shake their hand and talk to them one-on-one.
Yeah. And even with the teams now, and I know the World Cup changes it a little bit, but even when Cross Vegas was first announced as a World Cup, you did still have some international riders who weren't sure they wanted to go. They weren't sure they wanted to do the travel. That seems now to have disappeared. I think it's a confidence in the event, and also just the payoff of being in Vegas, having industry around there that, I mean, you can tell me better. It doesn't seem like there's any pushback anymore towards that.
Well, a couple of things happened. Number one, their experience last year was favorable. You know, no one lost their bikes, no one lost their baggage, no one got injured. The jet lag had less effect. If you look at the results anyway, the jet lag had less effects than anyone could have possibly thought. And they had a lot of fun. You know, they got to see a part of America that, you know, for lack of a very, another term, is very unique. So I'm sure they all went home with that and were able to live with that experience for a few months and are now thinking, wow, I can't wait to get back and check out, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know.
And speaking of fun and meeting the pros, Bill, last year, the Meet the Pros event at the Monte Carlo, you went, I was there. What a blast. That's happening again, correct, Brooke?
It is, in fact, yes. Yeah, the pub at Monte Carlo, that's Tuesday, the evening before, Tuesday, 6 to 8 o'clock. Hey, it serves as a number pickup for the USA Cycling riders and the wheelers and dealers. It's always nice to get your number early so you can, you know, avoid that race day pressure, particularly if you're coming from the trade show or if you got other activities that are, you know, keeping you busy that day, and to be able to hang out with those guys.
Yeah.
Get some autographs, you know, just, you know, back to this approachability, you know,
be able to just like you're saying,
and talk with
them.
they're just
at the pub. They're hanging out. I mean, you can buy them a drink, soda or whatever, if they don't drink, and just hang out with them. It's awesome. And people should definitely go to that if they're going to be there.
Yeah. You know, it's close. If you're in town for Interbike, it's just a couple of hotels away. The monorail comes right there. It couldn't be any easier access. So definitely worth checking out.
Bill Chaiken will be taking pictures.
I'll be there with my little group. Yeah, no, that was a great time last night. That was one of those moments last year that with Sven, at least for me, that just sort of was another one of those surreal things where, you know, I knew I had talked to him the year before, but I wanted to interview him again and came up to him and was like, hey, and I was like starting to introduce myself again. And he was like, oh, I know who you are. And that just was, that just sort of made me take a step back. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. It's fascinating that the U.S. cross scene has not escaped the attention. I mean, of the European pros, and many of them will be listening to this podcast.
Well, you can just give us your prediction on who's going to win then.
No pressure.
Wow. Yeah, that is a tough one. I'm not going to take that bait, but my wheels are turning as to who that might be. But it will be action packed. I'll leave it at that. How's that?
Yeah, and one thing I love about that selection, as well as just like we saw last year, UCI has given special dispensation to the U.S. Federation to have a double allotment of riders. So, you know, it's something that's great for fans all over the world to come to, but also for U.S. fans. If you want to see our top riders and more of them than we would normally be able to see in a World Cup compete against the best of the world, this is the place to do it. You know, 16 women, 16 men are eligible to be selected for the U.S. squads, and it's, you know, now we get sort of the fun part of seeing who's going to make that squad as well.
That is exactly right, and I have it on good authority that Georgia is preparing. You know, she's not taking part at the Rio Games, and she started her cyclocross training. And Georgia has never been far from the podium at Cross Vegas, so I think that's going to add some excitement.
Yeah, top American finisher last year for women, I think at fourth, right?
That you'd have to check me on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, just as a side note, I was standing up by the finish line a little bit towards the entrance last year, and there's this woman standing next to me in jeans eating this ton of food out of a takeout dish, and I look over and it's Georgia, and she was, so her and I talked about it afterwards. She was so excited because she got the top five. So
yeah, no, that's excellent.
Again, that's just how it is. You just run into people like that at the race, and it's so awesome.
That squad just never ceases to amaze me.
They're amazing.
You know, Katarina Nash and her consistency, missing the podium at Cross Vegas only one year, and that was the year she did not compete. So she's got just a stunning record at Cross Vegas, including that victory last year, which was just so fun to watch.
So over the past decade, favorite memory of Cross Vegas?
You know, this is going to sound unpatriotic in an America First era, but the year 2010, when it was an all European podium, was memorable. I don't know. I'm not sure that it's the most memorable, but it sticks out in my mind because that said to me, wow, this thing has gotten somewhere. When you know, the our U.S. riders who normally dominate for whatever reason, the time zones, condition, familiarity with the course, et cetera, had to struggle to get to fourth. So that memory sticks out in my mind. And I could just I could probably come up with a half a dozen, but I've also been pleased with the acceptance of the event by the Belgian riders, starting first with Christian Hoyle, was one of the first to come, but the tide really turned when I was able to convince my friends at Telnet Fidea to send some riders over. And that included, you know, Bart Wellens and Rob Paters. And then Sporza did a feature about it, which they famously called, you know, bunny hopping and dollar grabbing, which is still available for viewing on the website. You could find an archived version, and that was that just bust things wide open, to the point that I would walk around in Belgium shortly after that, and people would come up to me and say, "Oh, you're the guy from Cross Vegas with the dollar grabbing," and they're just fascinated by this notion of grabbing dollar bills. So that one, that's a memory as well.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that early, just having Telenet Fidea, that's when we all got to see an early look in the flesh of a younger Wout van Aert.
Mm-hmm. Fifth place in that first race, first edition at Cross Vegas, and a group of guys that arrived in town without their bikes, and their bikes, they arrived on Saturday, and their bikes did not arrive until later in the day on Monday. And so they had a couple of days just sitting around wondering if in fact the bikes were going to show up, jumped on the bikes, and Wout had that hot start and won the whole shot award, which was a quart of tequila that year. and he turned 21 the following year. So.
Couldn't legally drink it. Bill, what's your favorite Cross Vegas moment?
I think it's probably just the first time being out there, because it really was, for me, the first time seeing, you know, the best of the best in person, and just being able to experience that and just being thrilled that we could do that in the U.S. And it, you know, seeing how that opened the doors for European pros not to write off the U.S. as a place that they can go early season and race their bikes. You know, I guess that's not, trying to think if it was before or after Worlds. You know, we had the Worlds experience, but it seemed like Cross Vegas was a lot more accessible than Worlds.
I think it was Worlds was that January.
Yeah, I think then I was there before Worlds.
I think it was,
yeah.
Was it 2013? When
2013
did Sven? When did Sven come the first time, Brooke?
That would have been 13. He won in January 13, and then raced cross one in Louisville. That is to say, January 13, and then raced Cross Vegas September 13. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite Cross Vegas moment was when Sven Nys came in 2013, and he rode off the front. And Ryan Trebon would not let him go without somebody following him. And Trebon chased him and got. And when I talked to Trebon, he's like, "Yeah, I got on his wheel," and he was like flicking me to go around. And I'm just like, "Dude, that's all I got. I can't go beyond. I can't go around you. I can barely sit behind you here." That was my favorite moment.
That was a good addition.
Yeah.
That was a
great
race.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite as well. And also Brooke being the kind person he is, you know, allowing me to put some banners up and that I have this great photo of Sven riding by the skills drills and belly aches banners on course, which is pretty awesome.
Perfect banner placement. You can't do that at all.
I remember that race because I happened to be standing next to you, Bill, and Brooke said, "Put it wherever you want." And I'm like, "Oh, man, does he know Bill's going to put it right in front of the center?"
Famous last word.
Exactly. Amazing. So, other than everything we've talked about, anything new out there? Looks like there might be some other partnerships that are happening this year for the first time.
Well, you know, we've completely redesigned our public food service and our VIP food. So we've got a new supplier, and I think we're going to see a big uptick in quality and variety, particularly on the public side. So I'm very excited by that. Look, I understand that I'm putting on a show first and a race second. That's kind of my mantra. And part of a show is the ability to, you know, grab something to eat, grab something to drink, something that, you know, is interesting, and there's some variety in the menu, et cetera. So I think that's going to add something to it. And then I'm working on an arrangement with one of the ride sharing platforms, and certainly getting out to the event. If particularly if you're not part of Interbike and you're not part of the shuttle bus system that goes back and forth from the Mandalay Bay all night, or perhaps you prefer your own vehicle, whatever the case may be, we're going to be able to announce very soon partnership with a ride sharing service so that you can hail one of these cars and get you at a, you know, without fighting the taxis, right? Without having to deal with the taxis. So I think that's going to add a nice convenience to the mix.
That's great too. And it also for, you know, especially for people like Scott and myself who are cyclocross nerds, the shuttle bus always was a little bit inconvenient, especially the one leaving, because we want to hang around and sort of eavesdrop on the press conference and see and walk around the expo again afterwards. And it was like last bus was out of there, you know, 15, 20 minutes after the race ended, which, you know, was not enough time to really take in the rest of the show.
Yeah, you want to hang out in the winner's circle and you know, get the impressions of the racers. You know, winners, runner ups, whatever the case may be. So, you know, the fun kind of goes on for quite a while afterwards, no question.
Yeah. I mean, last year we were there probably 2 hours afterwards waiting. I was stalking Wout waiting for him to get drug tested, and then finally finally was able to talk to him for 2 minutes with Niels Albert like tapping on his wrist behind us.
But the man wanted to get home, didn't
exactly
he?
Exactly. Outstanding. Scott, you got any other stuff we should be discussing with Brooke?
Just one thing I want to mention quickly, Brooke, is congratulations too, by the way, on the UCI award for the best World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Year.
Yeah,
that was just awesome.
That's gratifying, and it's certainly worth pointing out that award did not go to Brooke Watts. That award went to Cross Vegas, and back to what I said at the top end, which is, you know, there's 20 or more guys and gals and who give up a significant portion of their free time, which none of us have much of, to come out and help me with the event. So that crystal trophy, which sits downstairs, was earned by a whole lot of people, and there, you know, there was some tough competition in the mix in voting for that, you know, the finalists for that event of the year, best event of the year, were some strong ones and some events that had been around for a long, long time. So thank you. It's very gratifying. And, you know, now the bar is set even higher and you've got to work that much harder.
Well, having watched every single one of the races since that award was given, I got to say they made the right choice. So
you're very kind. You yeah. Yeah, well, it's motivated us to do that much more. I said for about 5 years to my crew, you know, you'd have a kind of a pre-event meeting, and I would consistently say, guys, this is dress rehearsal. This is dress rehearsal for a World Cup, and it's not this year, but it's going to be in the future. And we just took our time. There were many people at all levels who said you ought to be a World Cup. You ought to be a World Cup, and we took our time and took our very careful steps to get all systems in place so that when we pulled the trigger, we felt like we were doing it the way it should be done. And I spent a lot of time looking behind the curtain, as I term it, visiting a lot of races at all levels, particularly World Cup races, to see what the systems were. And I think it showed. And you know, you can never rest on your laurels. There's still a lot we need to do. We debrief and say what went wrong, what went well, and we try to build upon all of that. So I'm confident we're going to have another great show this year. It'll be a lot of fun for everyone, whether they're watching it on NBC Sports or in person, and hopefully they will join us in person. And you've got to see the thing live. There's just nothing like it live.
Can't argue with any of that. So,
and tickets are available right now, and registration opens August 2nd, correct?
Right. Hey, why not come out? Come out and race the USA Cycling Race. Your race number is your admission for the rest of the night. So, yeah. Throw your bike on a bike flight shipment so you don't have to travel with it. retrieve your bike, race, hang out, have some fun. So yeah, tickets are on sale. Registration starts next week, August 2nd, Tuesday the 2nd. And it's going to be another big year.
Yeah, it's at crossvegas.com. And then you can also follow the race and, well, Brooke and the race at Cross Vegas on Twitter. And just, you know, every day somebody chime in there and remind them how many days are left until the race. You can go to crossvegas.com, look at the countdown.
So, you know, I call it a countdown clock. Someone else told me it was a doomsday clock. So I guess depending on my mood, I might term it the same. But yeah, you look at that and, you know, start counting down the seconds until that until the night of Wednesday, September 21st.
Excellent. All right, Scott, Brooklyn answer. Who are your winners, men and women?
Oh, man. Just the winners?
Yep.
I'm going to
You can give me a podium. You can give me a podium.
I'm just going to do winners. Okay. I'm going to say Lars.
Okay.
You like that pick?
I do like that pick. Yeah.
I'm on a little bit of a surprise pick here because I think she's going to have a really good year. I'm going to say Katie Compton.
Oh, that's a good one too. She's working hard.
Oh. Yes.
Crushing that. Hey, if it were a grass crit, she'd be there because she's winning some crits.
Yeah. What about you, Bill?
Me. I really like that Lars pick because even though officially he's still on Giant until January 1st, it looks like just from social media that he is spending a lot of time with Sven and spending a lot of time on technical skills and seems to be open to it and saying how much he's learning. And, you know, as we all like to armchair coach, that seems to be the thing that everybody criticizes him on. It's never power, but just technical ability. So if he gets that squared away, I think we're going to see a breakout year for him. That being said, I'm going with Van Aert.
Well, I agree. Lars is a good pick. Wout, you can never go wrong with.
Right.
I hope that Mature is able to have a quick recovery from his knee surgeries and at least be on the line.
I saw that today, and that was my first thought. I was like, oh, man, I hope he can make it this year to Cross Vegas.
Yeah. But at the same time, it is all about Bielis Luxembourg at the end of January. So I can certainly understand if he's got to take a pass on a U.S. trip in order to recuperate. On the women's side, you cannot go wrong with any one of those Luna chicks.
Nice.
And that would be Katarina Nash or Catherine Pendrell, who's bound to come back from Rio with some great strength and is probably still smarting from that almost win a few years ago.
Right. Excellent. All right. I think we did it.
Who's your women's pick?
Oh, Matt, I thought I was going to get away. I'm just going scratch. I'm going Sonic Hunt and I'm going Wout Van Aert.
Yeah, I mean, can't argue with those picks. That's for sure.
Would be happy with others up there, but that's if we got to pick a favorite, that's what I'm going with.
That's pretty hard to beat.
Awesome. Hey, Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. Anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, just a pleasure to chat with you guys. Always a pleasure to listen to the podcast. I do truly enjoy it and keeping up with all things Cross.
All right. And thank you. And also, thank you not only for Cross Vegas, also for your continued work with USA Cycling. And
thank you.
Yeah, Brooke, and hope to see you around the country this year, maybe Cincinnati or something like that, or Nationals or whatever. And
Cincinnati is on the schedule. Nationals always on the schedule. I treat Nationals like that annual convention that someone has to attend. I would not miss it. So I will be around. I go to all the races and I might even throw my leg over a bike this year.
Oh, man. Outstanding.
Get Great. The video camera, Bill.
Exactly. Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
What a pleasure.
And there you have it. That was episode 37 of Crosshairs Radio. Great conversation with Brooke.
Everything you need to know about Cross Vegas is at crossvegas.com. Hope to see all of you in Las Vegas September 21. If not in person, at least check it out on the broadcast. Feedback at cxhairs.com. That's where you can get a hold of me, at cxhairs on Twitter, on Instagram. That's where you can follow along. And what else can I tell you? Oh, wideanglepodium.com. Become a member, become a donor. Let's grow that party at Wide Angle Podium. That's about it. I'm going for some R&R. I'll talk to you next week.